I'm here with Alexander Bercurse, editor-in-chief of The Duran. Alexander, you recently attended a Free Assange event in London. Tell us about the event, the significance, the information that you can share with our viewers about what's happening in the Assange case, maybe what you've heard about Assange's condition, and everything that's going on with this story.
Yeah. Well, first of all, can I just say that it was a phenomenally well-organized event at St. Pancras Parish Church. It had the biggest audience that I've seen at any of the Assange events that I've attended. It also had the most impressive list of speakers. And there were several people there who I was actually able to speak to directly. I mean, amongst the people I spoke to was Niels Meltzer, who is the UN rapporteur for against torture and against torture, who's been actually meeting Assange in Belmarsh prison and who has written an extraordinarily powerful letter to the Swedish authorities, which is widely credited with playing a big role in persuading the Swedish authorities to finally drop this fictitious case that they had against him. But Meltzer had an awful lot to say also. And, you know, we spoke personally. We had a fairly, you know, a good conversation in which he told me about the conditions in which Assange is treated. Then there was Craig Murray, who I also spoke to, and who gave a tremendously powerful address, a really brilliant address to the audience, to all of us. In which he discussed the sort of overarching issues and the extraordinary unfairness of the situation and of the way in which Assange was treated. And I also had brief discussions and listened to some very powerful contributions from two of the doctors who have actually put together this letter of the, I think it's actually 65 doctors who have expressed concerns about Assange's health and are worrying about the fact that he might die. I mean, there was one of them was Dr. Stephen Frost, whom, as I said, I spoke to again for a fair amount of time, and Lisa Johnson, I think I got her surname right, who is another one of the doctors who signed this and who actually spoke very well. And of course, I also listened to other people who spoke there. There was a very, very powerful address by John Pilger, who I didn't actually speak to, but who provided a great deal of information about Assange, how he is at the moment, and the way in which he's being treated. So a few general takeaways. Firstly, about his health, it is extremely bad and it is getting worse. And as was explained by the doctors and by Niels Meltzer, if somebody's kept in conditions which approximate, well, in Neil Meltzer's case, are torture, and torture doesn't have to be people being beaten or electrocuted or anything like that. You can keep people in conditions where they're deprived of human contact. If you do that over a very long time, it has a cascade effect. First, the psychiatric health collapses, and then physical health starts to collapse too. And that's exactly apparently what is happening to Assange. His health is breaking down. He's lost a huge amount of work, of weight. His ability to interact with those around him is becoming extremely limited. So Assange's health is breaking down, both at a mental level and at a physical level. And John Pilger, described the extraordinary amount of barriers that have been placed in the way of actually seeing Assange. If you want to visit him in Belmarsh, you have to go through repeated security controls. You find that you have to give your biometric measurements on three separate occasions, which I find extraordinary. Three separate occasions first going in, three separate occasions going out. Biometric measurements by the way, include fingerprints. So you have to do this three times. Most bizarre. Apparently, you're stripped down. So this is a wet. He went there in a wet, stormy day. That you have to pass a courtyard. It was pouring with rain, but you're not allowed to wear a coat in order to get through to Assange, and you're not even allowed to wear your own watch when you go and meet Assange. So, I mean, all this extraordinary and unnecessary security. And he said, he described how Assange is kept in prison uniform, even though he is a remand prisoner. I'm going to get to what I think the significance of that is in a moment. But he's in prison uniform. He's not been provided with his personal possessions, which he had with him in the embassy, the Ecuadorian embassy, which have supposedly been lost. He still doesn't have access to a laptop. He's still not able to get access to all the papers he needs to conduct his defense properly. And incredibly and bizarrely, he wasn't provided for, I think, a period of 3 months with his reading glasses. So he was prevented, in effect, from reading. Now, you know, this is all extraordinary and very worrying and very difficult to understand. Now, if I can just get to the question of the prison uniform, remand prisoners, that's prisoners who have not been convicted of any crime, and Assange has not been convicted of any crime in Britain, are entitled to wear their own clothes. Assange is not able to wear his own clothes because he's been told that his clothes have been lost. By putting him in prison uniform, that gives the impression, both to him and to those around him, that he is a convicted prisoner, put in the same position as all of the other prisoners in Belmarsh, this high security prison where he's been kept. And therefore, to my mind, is a gross violation of his human rights. People will know, and they will know in countries, in places like Ireland, for example, that prison dress, the clothes that you wear in prison, are a very important part of forming your identity. Assange is being treated like a prisoner who has been convicted of a serious crime. He is not being treated as a person who is on remand. Now, can I stress to those who might want to point this out, he is no longer serving time in prison for any offence he's been committed. The sentence that he received for the bail skipping, which is already extreme, has expired. The only reason he is now in prison is because the United States wants to extradite him. He has not been convicted of anything, yet he is deprived of his laptop, he's deprived of his clothes, he's been deprived for a long time of his reading glasses, he's obliged to wear prison uniform, he's severely restricted in whom he can see, and the people who can see him are put through these incredible, stringent controls if they want to gain access to him. And as Niels Meltzer says, this amounts to massive mistreatment of him and a violation of his human rights. And as the doctors say, it is destroying his health, both mentally and physically.
It's incredible that they're doing this to Assange, while just the other day, Alexander, on the London Bridge, I think it was the London Bridge, you had what was a convicted terrorist released out into the public, and we saw what happened there.
Yes.
With the stabbing of two people and I believe three or four more people injured. And this is a person that was a convicted, from what I understand at least, a convicted criminal, and he was released back out into the public. And meanwhile, they're taking these draconian, placing these draconian things on Assange.
Indeed so.
These draconian measures onto Assange. And Alexander, as you close out the video, comment on that. And then if you can, share with our viewers, is there any change in strategy from the legal team, whatever you can share, or the way they're trying to get Assange some help? In our last video, we mentioned going towards the Australian government, trying to get the Australian government to intervene, to finally intervene to save one of their own citizens. Yes. Is there anything you can share with us on that
point? Well, I did hear a lot about the legal team, but I didn't meet with any of them, I should stress, but I heard a lot about them, and I've heard discussed their things which with things about them with people who have spoken to them. I'm afraid I'm not going to discuss tactics and strategy. I think that would be most inappropriate to do at this time, given that, you know, some of this is very confidential. What I will say is this. I have heard some, you know, stories about the legal team. Can I just reassure people that the solicitor who is acting for Julian Assange, who is Gareth Pearce, is one of the most brilliant defence solicitors in Britain, if not perhaps the best defence solicitor. She's an outstanding lawyer. She's acted for other people who found themselves in very difficult situations, like many of the people will know about the Birmingham Six and the Guildford Four, all sorts of Irish people who were locked up, you know, accused by the British authorities and convicted by the British authorities of terrorist crimes that they never committed. These people, the legal team, know what they're doing, and they have a clear plan which they're going to try and implement, and which I have no doubt is the right plan. I mean, I've no doubt about this. Whether it will succeed, given these massive problems of due process, which we all know about in this case, judges who are not apparently listening to arguments that are made to them, extraordinary ways in which hearings have been conducted, that I don't know. But if there is any way of succeeding, it is the way that is being followed. Of that, I have no doubt whatsoever. Now, what I will say, what I will also say, is that, of course, it's not just a legal case. One has to say this, there is a major political aspect to this case. You are absolutely right to bring up the case of the terrorist, because the terrorist, the person who was released on London Bridge and who did all these terrible things, he had already been identified previously as someone who was dangerous. He was actually dangerous. Nonetheless, he was released early, and he did these terrible things. Julian Assange is dangerous to no one. He has never threatened anyone. He's never committed violence against anyone. There's been various attempts by various people in the United States and Britain to argue, to claim that some of the information that he has released, or that WikiLeaks has released, has put people's lives in danger. This has been shown to be untrue. And the rape allegations that were brought against him in Sweden, which I never thought had any substance to them, this is my opinion, and which I feel had been clearly and comprehensively refuted by Julian Assange's statement, which you can find on the WikiLeaks website, those charges have been dropped. Julian Assange is not a danger to anyone. There is no reason why he should be held in a high security prison of the sort in which he is being held. And as we have heard from the doctors, medical people, some of the, you know, most highly qualified medical people in the world, people who know what they're talking about. And as we have heard from the UN rapporteur, Nils Melzer, it is completely wrong that he should be held in this way. And it is undermining his health and putting his life at risk. The right thing to do at this stage, even if you think that there is a potential case for extradition, which I don't, and I made that very clear many times, that even if you think that, if you value Britain's tradition as a country which observes human rights and has been at the forefront in promoting human rights and has the Human Rights Act incorporated in its law is to take Julian Assange out of this high security prison where he has been most inappropriately placed, provide him with proper medical treatment in a university hospital, and make available to him all the resources, a laptop, full access to his lawyers, proper access to the people who he needs to work with, so that he can properly mount his defense. That seems to me, if you care about human rights, completely fundamental. And that was what people were talking about at this extraordinary and inspiring event, which I attended.
All right. Thank you, Alexander McCurse, for sharing with all of us what you saw at that event and the people you talked to and the information that you're able to share with us as to what's going on with Julian Assange. Alexander, we will leave it at that. Guys, subscribe, PayPal, Patreon, subscribe, start this video. We'll definitely get demonetized. So any help that you can give us, that would be great. And of course, Durant Shop Alexander, DRN20, put it at the checkout to get a 20% discount on all merchandise. Any final words, Alexander?
First of all, I mean, since you brought up the subject, of the problems we have getting out our videos, because be very clear, if what Alex says does happen to our video, this video will not be circulated as widely as it otherwise would have been.
Assange videos always
are, yeah. But you will get it full and unadulterated on some of the platforms where we have gone to and which Alex is developing. So those problems don't exist there, which is why we are currently building them. And we are extremely excited and very, very pleased by how well they are developing. And, you know, given the issues involved that we've discussed in this video, I think that's not just right thing to do in terms of our service, but it's also the right thing to do in terms of the message we have to, you know, put across in cases, in circumstances like this. But, you know, having talked about the platforms, now perhaps if I can turn to rather more positive things, we have our amazing things in our shop. We have our mugs, which everybody knows about, these marvelous Duran mugs. You can see, well, these ones have the emblem of the Russian Federation on them. Can I say there's no connection between Julian Assange and Russia? We've discussed this many times, but I could say that with absolute knowledge, knowing a great deal about Julian Assange and WikiLeaks and how they work. There was no connection between Julian Assange and Russia, but if you have any attraction to really beautiful things, well, you will love mugs like this, because this is so phenomenally elegant. And frankly, I think the emblem of the Russian Federation is an extraordinarily elegant one with a double-headed eagle there. And these are great mugs. As I said, I've talked about this many times. They're 15 ounces. They're beautiful porcelain, amazing porcelain bodies. You can see how light and easily balanced they are. And it's about, by the way, two-thirds full, so that gives you an idea of how well-balanced it is. Two-thirds full with Russian caravan tea, by the way, just in case people wish to know. But we don't just have mugs. We have also beautiful things. We have amazing shirts, like the polo shirt I'm wearing now, like the T-shirt Alex is wearing. We've got the Duran double-headed eagle on them. We've also got long sleeve t-shirts, we've got v-neck shirts, we've got hoodies, we've got hats, we've got stickers. As Alex said, you can get discounts on all these things. It's Christmas time and you can get discounts for these great things, which are gifts, wonderful gifts at around Christmas, for around Christmas. So if you approve of the work we do, you can support us in light of the problems with demonetization and the rest that we suffer. You can support us by coming to our shop. You can also be the proud owner of these fantastic things. You can help us get our message across at the Duran. And you can also provide your friends with all sorts of great gifts for Christmas. So how better to do a good thing as Christmas approaches? Go to our shop. Alex will tell you how to do it.
Go to theduranshop.com, and at checkout, you can put the code DRN20, and it's 20% off all merchandise. Alexander Verkurs, editor-in-chief of The Duran, thank you very much. Until next time, everybody, take care.